Indifference and Absorption of Architectural Form. Notes on Le Corbusier's La Tourette Monastery by Pier Vittorio Reli and Maria Esquedici. In recent times, the issue of program in architecture has been both celebrated as a, quote, scientific form-giving process and dismissed as a pretentious excuse for bizarre formal operations. While in the 1990s, program was more important than architecture, in the last decade, it seems that architecture has become more important than program, to the point that it is a self-evident cliche to rely on architecture's neutrality and flexibility, its vague illusions, its lack of convincing content. Footnote: this is especially evident in many important buildings realized in the last 10 years, in which design is fully concentrated in the envelope of the building rather than its internal organization. Confronted with both the celebration and the dismissal of program in architecture, it would be interesting to revisit a kind of architectural form that is indifferent to program, but which flaunts this indifference in the face of a program that is relevant and strong, one that could be strictly defined as such as liturgical. Liturgia was the ritual service of the temple in ancient Greece, and as such, the essence of public duty itself. Christianity inherited this ritual in the form of the public officium, office of the church. It is thus possible to say that all sacred architecture is strictly functional insofar as it facilitates the enactment of this public office. In sacred architecture, form must follow function, form must adhere to the ritual just as the concave adheres to the convex. Such is the case of one of the most enigmatic and to a certain degree absurd works of modern architecture, Le Corbusier's Monastery of La Tourette. Despite its explicit formalism, La Tourette does not dismiss the fact that the most important factor of the monastery is its content, the manner of life of its monastic residents, rather than its form. And yet it is precisely within this strictly defined program that Le Corbusier offered one of the most intense reflections on the nature of architectural form as being radically autonomous, almost indifferent to anything that would compromise its appearance. What does this deliberate paradox mean for architecture? Tableau. The design of the Monastery of La Tourette was commissioned from Le Corbusier by Father Marie-Alain Couturier, one of the editors of Art Sacré, a reformist periodical dedicated to the revival of religious art in the modern world. The design process started in 1953 and the building was inaugurated in 1960. These were the years just before the Second Vatican Council, when the Catholic Church embarked on a radical renewal of its institutions. The commission was a bold act of self-challenge on the part of one of the most militant and severe mendicant orders, the Dominicans. Despite the cultural openness of Father Couturier, the Dominicans were the most unlikely order to accept the progressive simplicity of modernist architecture. Born to defend the prerogatives of the Catholic Church against the Cathar heresy, the Dominicans were very familiar with the pitfalls of the extreme pauperism held so dear by other mendicant orders such as the Franciscans. This is why the aesthetic of La Tourette is not obviously progressive or heretical, the way other religious buildings designed by Le Corbusier are, in primis the Ronchamp Chapel. In spite of the many iconoclastic formal solutions that Le Corbusier put forward in the design of the monastery, the project remained resolute in its adherence to the strict liturgy of monastic life. It consists of a series of shared spaces that reflect the rhythm of life of the monastic community, clustered around a cloister ringed by individual cells. In the organization of the plan, Le Corbusier remained fairly faithful to a diagram sketched by Father Couturier that he published in his Oeuvre Complete as the introduction to his proposal. Indeed, what is impressive about La Tourette is its almost pedantic functionalism. Each function is signaled by a different treatment of the facade. In spite of the compactness of its overall form, the building seems like an awkward assemblage of different, quote, boxes, each containing a clearly defined function. Le Corbusier raised the monastery, with the exception of the church, on pilotis, a solution that further emphasized the awkwardness of the building's siding on a west-facing slope. In the initial steps of the design, the monastery was to be accessed via a long ramp linking the ground to the top of the building. Although this solution was later abandoned, the idea of maintaining the roof level as the only stable datum remained the main formal motif. The continuous line of the top profile became the steady background against which a composition of forms was shamelessly staged both inside the cloister and toward the surrounding landscape. If we were to display all of the elevations of the monastery as one continuous facade, we would obtain a series of tableaux, moving from the self-sufficient concrete frame placed in front of an otherwise unceremonious entrance to the pyramid of the oratory to the fragile mullions of the chapter house and library, which, regardless of their famously sophisticated proportions, only block what would otherwise be a stunning landscape view. Such tableau-like composition reaches its climax on the north side of the church. As is well known, this is the side of the monastery that presents itself first to visitors, quote, welcoming them with an imposing blank wall against which Le Corbusier placed the most gratuitously formalistic composition he ever conceived, the chapel's curvy wall topped by its light cannons. This tableau has been the focus of several readings of La Tourette, most notably the seminal article by Colin Rowe. Rowe suggested that the blank wall, in all its opaqueness, was not an object in and of itself, but rather the projection of something more yet to come. Rowe saw the blank wall as, quote, a great dam holding back a reservoir of spiritual energy. Even if he acknowledged the power that the monastery exercises in preventing a ceremonial approach to it, his analysis still insisted on a kinetic view of the blank wall, as if it were just the invitation to something else. This reading of La Tourette has remained the standard ever since, and indeed most photographers choose to represent the monastery through accidental views that simultaneously capture two sides of the building. All the critics who have celebrated La Tourette insist upon the importance of impatiently, quote, walking around the monastery. However, the formal compositions described thus far are not merely targeted at a peripatetic experience of the building. Due to its lack of, quote, grace and balance, end quote, Le Corbusier's formal tour de force produces a strange feeling of witnessing a never-ending series of non sequitur architectural episodes. Each of these episodes is a tableau whose formal workings are so tight and concentrated within themselves that they seem to deny the fact that they have yet to be seen or inhabited. And yet, such a provocative use of architecture is applied not to a gratuitous architectural exercise, like a pavilion or folly, but to the quintessentially programmatic building, the monastery. The experience of La Tourette ultimately lies in the unresolvable contradictions of its character, which is extremely functional yet extremely formal. With the exception of the church, the monastery's interior architecture is utterly unspectacular, to the point that the building has, as has been noted, the atmosphere of a, quote, grim school or administrative building. And yet these functional spaces are constantly contrasted by the most enigmatic formal compositions, which are autonomous and self-referential, devoid of any relationship to the way the building is inhabited. By being exposed to the fact that a structure must be inhabited in order to be architecture, formal expression reveals that all its potential is merely itself. To be indifferent toward both its context and the life that takes place within it. Absorption. The constructive logic of La Tourette synthesized two of the most important housing prototypes proposed by Le Corbusier, the Maison Domino 1914 and the Maison Citroën 1922. In these models, Le Corbusier developed a quintessentially modern living space in which architecture is reduced to a minimum and emptiness is maximized. This condition was intended to allow architecture to be never completed in itself, but rather open and adaptable to any unforeseen use. In these two prototypes, Le Corbusier made evident the most fundamental fact of modern architecture, its total adherence to life understood as bare life, that is, the most generic characteristics of man. These characteristics are the human species' constant uprootedness, its lack of specialized instincts, its permanent feeling of not being at home. Therefore, what the generic space of the Domino and Citroën houses manifests with utmost clarity is the instability of the human condition. Paraphrasing Michael Fried's famous attack on minimal art, it is possible to say that the space of these Le Corbusier models is theatrical. At this point, it is crucial for our argument that we briefly rehearse what was at stake in Fried's criticism of theatricality in minimal art. He argued that theatrical artworks were only activated or completed by the movement of the beholder. For example, the sculptures of Donald Judd and Robert Morris are never completed in themselves because their appearance involves not only the actual space of the gallery, but also the movement of the spectator around and through them. For Fried, such an experience would blur the distinction between what is art and what not necessarily has to become art. Art is the opposite of the everyday. To behold an artwork is to experience a moment of suspension of our being in the world, a moment in which something does not unfold in time like most events we experience in our everyday life, but appears to us in its inexorable presentness. Fried described this experience in an almost religious way by declaring at the end of his essay that, quote, presentness is grace. In order to oppose theatrical art and reinforce the beholding of art as something removed from the literal space of experience, Fried's subsequent studies of painting proposed the concept of absorption. Absorption refers to a condition in which an artwork is completed in itself without the need to engage the beholder. For Fried, this was evident in Jean-Baptiste Simeon Chardin's Young Student drawing, in which the French painter portrays a man seen from his back, completely absorbed by his own activity of drawing. Another example of absorption are the paintings by Maurice Lewis, in which the relationship between the rivulets or stripes of colour and the rectangular blank canvas is so strong and complete that it presupposes an arrested or transfixed beholder before them. Absorption calls for artworks that are resolutely themselves and do not concede anything to the beholder. In contrast, in a condition of theatricality, artworks are experienced through a situation of radical indeterminacy with respect to the subjective response of the viewer. This means that the intentions of the artists are no longer recognizable because they become confused with the subject's experience of the artwork itself. Fried's attack on the, quote, participatory nature of minimal art, which today is a generalized condition of much contemporary art and architecture, has been harshly criticized as regressive and conservative, or at best nostalgic of a time when art still had the magical aura of the autonomous object. It would be even more controversial to transport this critique to the realm of architecture, for the latter is the, quote, literal space par excellence, the space to be inhabited, the space whose only purpose is the life that transpires within it. As said earlier, La Tourette is the final outcome of the constructive logic explored in the Maison Domineau and Maison Citrahan, two paradigms of literal architecture that are perennially unfinished and radically reduced to their load-bearing structures. The utilitarian character of the building technique used at La Tourette is made explicit in the Béton Brut of the north side of the church, which Le Corbusier realized using the same method of dams built in the Alps. However, the tableau-like formal compositions displayed at La Tourette contradict the literalness of the project's construction method. While passing through a rationally planned sequence of spaces, the visitor is constantly confronted with the architectural tableau described earlier, which are, as we have seen, not only utterly indifferent to the use and function of these spaces, but also radically finite compositions. So what sort of beholder do these tableaux imply? These formal tableaux presuppose an arrested or transfixed beholder, someone in a condition that embodies precisely the mental and physical experience of ascetism, the form of life enacted by monastic architecture. Asceticism is often confused with self-punishment as a way to counter a sense of guilt imposed by the subject upon the subject by an external force. But if we consider the way of life of early monasticism and the mendicant orders, asceticism has a radically different meaning. Here, asceticism is a constant exercise on one's body and mind, in the attempt to test their limits. The main function of monastic architecture was to create a situation of utmost self-awareness. This was achieved through the construction of specific spatial moments that engendered what Fried would call a condition of absorption, or of suspension from the time of the everyday. Spaces that display a resolute, finite, uncompromising formal resolution become the best backgrounds for the exercise of self-awareness. Here, asceticism becomes an exercise that is fueled not by guilt or self-loathing, but, on the contrary, by the desire to become the absolute master of one's own life, to reach happiness and perfection. After all, ironically, the ultimate ascetic space is the column of the stylite, an extreme architecture that lost its functional content and became a sculptural, absolute work governed by its own internal aesthetic logic. At La Tourette, the many formal expedients that look accidental or irrational, from the use of colour to the blocked windows that conclude each corridor with a blank panel rather than a vista, estrange the building from its bare use. Life is lived against the building, not merely in it. In this respect, La Tourette becomes an ascetic space, for it makes the user more aware of his own body and his relationship to the surroundings through the open display of its many inconsistencies and self-referential formal gestures. As we have seen in Plan, the disposition of the spaces of La Tourette responds to the canonical chronotope of the monastery, a layout that is at once a schedule and the embodiment of a rule. However, in section and facade, the actual architecture contradicts at each step the rationality of the plan. A building that hangs from its roof, a cloister that cannot actually be accessed, a hidden entrance, a wealth of lighting devices that seem to do anything possible to force light in the most unnatural ways. This paradoxical condition of a simultaneous adherence to program and a development of an intrinsic logic that cannot be argued in functional terms is possible thanks to the specific nature of religious architecture, an architecture that, however informed by practical concerns it may be, can never be measured in terms of performance. In fact, even the term function here loses its meaning and should rather be replaced by liturgy. Function is a set of actions in which the sequence is not predetermined. Functionalist design is ultimately geared towards offering space that is, quote, easy to use, and it does this through a careful planning of the user's responses. Liturgy is a precise set of gestures that forms a pattern which, in its extremely repetitive nature, can only be undertaken voluntarily and always gains a collective dimension. As the direct materialization of a ritual, liturgical spaces tend to force their users into specific movements. They neither seek interaction nor require use, since their purpose is already present in their form, regardless of the presence of users. They do not have a time horizon, for the time of the ritual is necessarily cyclical and eternal, whereas functional space is always designed for an incessantly immediate future, as a space of potential growth and, quote, becoming. In their fundamental indifference to the praxis of their users, liturgical spaces allow visitors a paradoxical form of freedom. They turn their back to the subjects because they are the ritual. They turn their back to the subjects because they already are the ritual. While it would be simplistic to see a burgeoning form of resistance against the managerial rationale of the domino model in the possibility of asceticism put forward by La Tourette, it might not be out of place to consider that modern architecture is not necessarily condemned to being, quote, theatrical, and that architectural form has not exhausted its potential to generate instances of absorption, or chances for reflection that can be born only in a momentary of detachment from the practical nature of things. Neither smoothly flexible nor obtusely program-driven, the architecture of La Tourette posits the relationship between form and content and between building and life as a dialectic that pretends not to be resolved but merely experienced. It is precisely in this gap, in the articulation of the distance between liturgy and representation, in the crack between what architecture can define and what cannot be programmed, that La Tourette helps us to understand the potential of architectural form in general. Here, architectural form is a challenge to both the cliché of context and function as disingenuous crutches for form and the supposed neutrality of form. In La Tourette, Form is revealed in all its awkward, inexplicable beauty and in its relentless indifference and thus presentness.